Chapter 7. Stripped Naked. His steps uneven, his route meandering. Zacnaphane walked out of the oozing myconid later that night. From the edge of the bar, Jarlaxle watched him go, smiling knowingly when Zacnaphane took a step a bit too far to the side, crashing into the door jamb against which he had not so subtly braced. The mercenary leader took his time finishing his drink before taking his leave. Just outside, he went around the side of the building, then again around a second corner, back into the alleyway where the fight had taken place. There, at a specific spot, he used his portable hole and went back into the building, into a room he knew to be empty, then stepped out of sight and pulled the portable hole from the wall. He cast a spell out of a ring on his left hand, then, invisible, he slipped through the room's open door, padded silently down the hall, and passed through the common room along the wall to once again exit the tavern. He picked up his pace, moving swiftly down the course he knew Zacnaphane would take. There were no Doerden agents spying from the rooftops to protect the weapon master this night. Logically, Jarlaxle knew that he should not be worried. With his cavern-jumping techniques and training, Zacnaphane could elude almost anyone, even with a fair amount of liquor flowing through him. How many times had Zacnaphane come out alone to the Brayrin, after all? For some reason, however, perhaps something he had noticed subconsciously, the skin on the back of Jarlaxle's shaved neck was tingling. He sprinted along as fast as he could go, his magical boots keeping his footfalls perfectly silent. He thought he was nearing Zacnaphane when he noted someone else, someone casting a spell and facing the alleyway that he expected Zacnaphane would be traversing. Jarlaxle ran toward the nearest building, tapped his noble house emblem, one of House Bayenry given to him by the matron mother herself, and leaped from the ground, floating up to the roof. He moved across slowly and carefully to look over the alleyway. There stood Zacnaphane, unmoving. Perfectly still, not blinking, not even seeming to breathe. A woman approached him, one Jarlaxle certainly recognized. She walked toward the weapon master, rolling a dagger about in her hand. "Oh, Dabne," Jarlaxle whispered under his breath, shaking his head and thinking it all such a terrible waste. "Ah, weapon master. You have truly surprised me with your foolishness," Dabne said, standing right before the House Doerden swordsman. "You cannot be poisoned by an enemy, yet you poison yourself with drink." She shook her head and sighed. "I would not have expected you to let down your guard so quickly. Did you think that there would be no consequences, no ill will after such a fight as you waged with my brother? How many sinister characters lost coin in that battle?" She rolled the dagger in her hand, bringing it up slowly before Zacnaphane's face. "When you are the central player in a game of gain and loss, do you not think it wise to take extra precautions?" she asked. "Or is it that you are so full of self-hatred that you simply do not care?" She laughed at him. "And so even the great Zacnaphane let down his guard and finds himself caught by my spell, an enchantment I would never even dare to cast on you were you not intoxicated. It would seem that I overestimated your skill, your mental discipline, and your quest for perfection. That disappoints me." Dabne sighed again. "You are fortunate this night, Zacnaphane Doerden," she said, lowering the blade. "For I've no desire to hurt you. None." Up on the roof, wand leveled and ready to strike Dabne down, Jarlaxle nearly laughed aloud with relief. Zacnaphane's arm moved then, exactly as he practiced every day, drawing his sword and turning it to strike in the same movement, practically the same instant. The blade ended its stab right beside Dabne's neck, before Zacnaphane, After a moment of staring the woman in the eye, flipped it and returned it to its sheath nearly as quickly. If you thought you would ever get that dagger near to me, then I am the one who should be disappointed, Zacnaphane answered evenly to the shocked priestess, who seemed as if she might simply fall over. Come with me, Dabney said after she had collected herself, and she led Zacnaphane away. Jarlaxle knew relief, great relief, almost as great as his shock at all of these surprising events. He didn't know what to make of it, any of it, including these two unlikely companions walking off together. Was there anyone Dabney wanted to kill more than Zacnaphane, given what the weapon master had done to her brother, a sibling to whom she held an unusually close bond? Was there anyone Zacnaphane wanted to kill more than a priestess of Loth, any priestess of Loth? It didn't make sense to him. So he followed. He tracked them to an inn, where he knew Dabney to stay on those occasions when she was not in Bregendier's Claw Rift complex. He secretly followed their movements from outside the building, watching the candlelight in the room on the corner of the top floor that he knew to be Dabney's, and went to the roof above that spot. He waited just long enough for them to settle in, then carefully set his portable hole again, keeping it small so that he could peer through without attracting their attention, he hoped. He heard them before he finished setting the peephole, but it didn't register clearly to him, and so his surprise was complete when he looked down to see the bottom of a bare foot, then a second, lifted into the air. Dabney's legs, and with Zacnaphane between them. A shaken Jarlaxle removed the hole and staggered away. He felt as if the ground beneath his feet had become shifting sand, all of his preconceptions of these two shattered. He had to rethink so many things. The hierarchy of his mercenary band, the positioning of his lieutenants, his very existence. Why would Zacnaphane willingly play with a priestess of Loth unless, of course, such play included deadly weapons? All the way back to his quarters in the Claw Rift, the unshakable Jarlaxle couldn't stop shaking his head. I am grateful that you did not kill him, Dabney said, lying beside Zacnaphane on her side, propped up on one elbow. Zacnaphane couldn't deny her beauty, her delicate lines and curves, her graceful neck, her long hair cascading across it. He had to remind himself many times that she was a priestess of Loth, and thus that beauty was more likely lure than allure. To her thoughts, though, she had caught him helpless in the alleyway, and she hadn't struck. Why would he doubt her now? Because she was a priestess of the Spider Queen, and keeping him alive would merely allow her to utilize him in some greater evil, perhaps. Or so that she could play with him before killing him. Zacnaphane had no intention of letting his guard down, no matter how much he surprisingly wanted to. I am unused to priestesses caring about their brothers, he replied, or about any males. Dabney shrugged, then shook her head, her hair falling back behind her, affording Zacnaphane a full view of her naked form. Or about anyone, for that matter, Zacnaphane pressed. That brought a laugh. I wish I could deny your words, but alas, it does seem that we all hold ourselves too high above anyone and everyone else. That is how Lady Loth teaches us.
But you do not agree with it.
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to.
Zacnaphane grinned as he reached up to run the back of his hand gently across Dabney's angular cheek. She closed her eyes when he brushed her ear, just a slight breeze-like touch, then moved down the side of her neck.
But yes, you did say that.
Dabney's red eyes popped open, and a flash of anger flared in them, one that Zacnaphane, who had spent the entirety of his life under the thumb of Lothian priestesses, certainly knew well. But it passed, very quickly, How so?
Duvon, or should I say Avenvesa Fay, holds no practical value to you anymore and forevermore, Zaknafane explained. When Jarlaxle sold Duvon to Matron Beerton, he offered you as well.
Dabney's face went very tight.
You knew that, of course, said Zaknafane. And you knew why Jarlaxle had tried to do that. Having a priestess of Lolth in the midst of his mercenary band raised his profile higher than he was comfortable with. Rightly so. Noble Dabney Trayrock could have brought ruin to Bregan D'Earth.
But she did not.
No, Zaknafane agreed. And Matron Beerton didn't want you, and that at a price cheaper than that which she paid for your brother, a mere male. I am surprised that did not and does not infuriate you.
Dabney merely shrugged again.
That bothered me more than it bothered you, Zaknafane went on. But then I came to understand that there was likely a good reason for it, and one that you understood.
He stroked the woman's face and neck again.
You are not in Lolth's favor. You weren't then when Duvon was sold, and you are not now.
She still gives me her gifts. My spells do not fail me.
Zaknafane shrugged, as if that did not matter, for of course it did not. A priestess had to do a lot more than simply fall out of Lolth's favor to lose her spells, particularly the lesser enchantments which taxed the limits of Dabney's mediocre powers. She would have to enrage Lolth to the point where the goddess left her helpless to face the executioners of her wrath. That wasn't the way the Spider Queen played her chaos game.
I was often wicked to Duvon when he was a child, Dabney admitted.
Her gaze went past Zaknafane, and she wasn't looking at anything in particular in the room, he knew. Her mind's eye was far away on a long-ago day in House Trayrock.
Even more than I had to be. I enjoyed it. The whippings. The sheer dominance I exerted over him. It is a powerful elixir, this power. I was told not to care about his pain, his screams, his heart. And I wanted to believe that, and so I did. And it made it all so easy.
But you grew closer, Zaknafane reasoned.
Hardly. I fully expected him to die on the field when we raided House Simfrey. I expected him to die at the edge of your blades, Zaknafane.
She looked him right in the eye.
I even hoped for it.
But now you are grateful that I did not kill him?
Dabney gave yet another shrug.
She was struggling here, Zaknafane recognized. And why shouldn't she be? Her heart was leading her in a direction diametrically opposed to everything she had been taught to believe and practice, something he knew a great deal about.
Something changed after that disaster at the compound of House Simfrey, she admitted.
I do not consider it such a disaster.
That brought Dabney's eyes to meet Zaknafane's gaze. I suppose that I do not either when I step back and look at it these 100 years removed, she admitted. I have learned much with Bregan D'Earth. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say that I have unlearned much. To my surprise, Jarlaxle kept Duvon in line. And it wasn't just that my brother was afraid of Jarlaxle.
He was happy, Zaknafane concluded.
Dabney nodded. And now, he is again Duvon, she admitted. And you would have been justified in killing him. You still would be, and perhaps that is your wisest play.
But you don't want me to.
I beg you not to.
And again, I am left asking why.
Because something even greater has changed within me, she said. Outside of my house, outside of the daily rituals of the Spider Queen and the constant reminders of the inferiority of males and the constant reinforcement of the selfish nature of Drow. I have come to see the world, not just Duvan, but the world around me, quite differently. It was her turn to reach out and gently stroke Zaknafane's face. I find men much more pleasurable when they lie with me of their own accord and desire. Zaknafane grabbed her by the wrist and pulled her hand away, holding it fast. And again, I am left with the truth that you still retain great powers from Lady Loth. Not so great, Dabney humbly admitted. Never that. Never spells powerful enough to require divine permission or interest. But yes, she still grants me my spells, she conceded. Why wouldn't she?
You just said why.
Do not lie to yourself or deceive yourself, ever angry Zaknafane, she said. Jarlaxle, too, is in the favor of the Spider Queen and always has been.
I've never seen him pray to her or to anyone else.
Dabney offered no answer other than another shrug.
You promise that there will be no retribution against me by Dabney? Zaknafane bluntly asked.
Another shrug. That would depend upon whether or not you anger me, she said coyly. Or maybe if you fail to please me when we are at play.
I am your servant again.
Willingly. Zaknafane found himself matching her grin.
Still, you did try to cheat in my fight with Duvan. And so would you have stayed his blade if your cheating had borne the expected results?
She appeared honestly perplexed by that. My cheating?
You do not admit that you would have preferred that Duvan win?
I would have preferred that you did not fight, and not only because I lost a large bag of gold.
You bet on Duvan.
I did.
But you know him well, and you know that he could not defeat me.
That too is true.
Because you cheated?
I did nothing. Zaknafane stared at her doubtfully, then came to understand her dodge.
Because you knew that someone else was cheating.
Dabney shrugged and did not deny it.
Who?
The attack upon you in the fight was not divine nor arcane, Dabney stated.
It was similar to that which you tried this very night in the alleyway, I think.
No. It was no spell of Lolf's giving, and none cast by a mage. When Zaknafane didn't seem to understand, she stated it more clearly. Who among us is in bed, quite literally, with an Oblodrin? Dabney asked.
The mind magic, the weapon master whispered, more to himself than to Dabney.
He hadn't even considered a psionic attack, for the Oblodrins were not ones to bother with such matters as duels in the Brayrin, certainly. Who? Dabney asked again.
Zaknafane could only shrug as he had no idea.
Ah, of course. You have not been in the Claw Rift in decades, Dabney said. An easier clue then, my lover. Who among Brake and Eärth would most benefit from the death of Zaknafane Doerden?
I am not of Brake and Eärth any...
Oh, but you are, Dabney insisted. You are still the favorite of Jarlaxle, and you know it. And for one other, that remains unacceptable. Zaknafane tried to keep his expression blank as he considered the reasoning. He found himself wincing more than once, though, and more than twice as he tried to process the dire implications here. This could cost him his life, of course, but worse to his thinking, this could force him to stay inside House Doerden.
Why do you tell me this? He demanded.
Because I lost a large bag of gold. Her expression was grim, one Zaknafane was far more used to seeing from a priestess of Lolth, and in that moment, had he been wearing a sword, he might have struck Dabney down.
A moment later, though, she merely shrugged again. A reminder to him that this was the way of the drow, even among allies, and despite himself, Zacnaphane was glad that he didn't have a sword in hand. He wasn't going to stay mad at Dabne, because she had tried to profit over some inside information. Would he have done anything differently if their roles had been reversed? Jarlaxle was surprised to see Zacnaphane returning to the oozing Myconid that night, but when he noted the man's scowl as he approached the table, he was able to guess the reason. "You knew," Zacnaphane said with a growl, standing, pointedly not sitting, right beside the mercenary leader. "I know much." "No games, Jarlaxle." "My friend, it is all a game. Would you care to narrow the horizon of your question?" "I would care to take you out in the alley and cut you apart." "I wouldn't care much for that." "Jarlaxle!" Jarlaxle held up his hands for Zacnaphane to see, showing him that they were empty, then slowly rose. "Let us go in the back." Zacnaphane started to argue, but then motioned for Jarlaxle to lead and followed the man into a room just off the common room. No doubt, ears were pressed against the door, but Jarlaxle produced his portable hole and motioned for Zacnaphane to go in. The weapon master hesitated, eyeing Jarlaxle with open suspicion. Jarlaxle heaved a heavy sigh, then placed his belt pouch to the side and entered the hole. And when Zacnaphane finally entered behind him, he pulled in the edges, creating an extra-dimensional pocket. "Be quick," he said. "I do not wish to have my pouch stolen." "You knew. You know who did it," Zacnaphane stated.
"Did what?"
"Attacked my mind in my fight with Duvan Trayrock," Zacnaphane spat. "Arathis Hune."
"Quaveline O'Blodrum, more likely."
"Hired by Arathis Hune," the weapon master said through gritted teeth.
"That would be my guess, yes," Jarlaxle confirmed.
"Where is he?"
"Nowhere that matters to you, weapon master of House Doerten." Zacnaphane stared at him with his jaw hanging open. "I'm sorry for being so formal, but you leave me no choice. If you strike at Arathis Hune, then House Doerten will have struck hard at Bregan D'Earth, and Matron Mother Beanry will likely have a word, or more like a scourge, with Matron Malice in that event."
"Do not play that game."
"It is all a game."
"Shut up," Zacnaphane growled in frustration. "Just shut up. Why haven't you punished him? Why is he still alive?"
"Because he is valuable to me."
"He tried to kill me."
Jarlaxle's shrug deflated Zacnaphane, visibly so. "We are drow, my friend Zacnaphane. We are all drow. You are drow. This is our lot. This is our way. So we are ever on our guard, and so we survive."
"And if treachery is revealed, by whom?
To what court? Would you have me take your charges to the ruling council? I am sure the matrons will give it proper consideration."
"Don't be foolish. He tried to have me killed, and so I will kill him myself."
"No.
No.
We've been through this. He is valuable to me, and I need him now, with you spending your days in the service of Matron Malice. You cannot kill him." Zacnaphane stared at him hard. "Are you intending to kill every drow who might use your own demise as a manner of personal gain?" Jarlaxle asked. "If so, you'll be dead or you'll be alone."
"Does that include Jarlaxle?"
"Fair point, my friend. You'd then be alone, except for my wonderful company."
"Which is what you'd have to say to stay alive, isn't it?"
"Ah, Zacnaphane, I promise you, if we two were trapped in a cave, alone and starving, I would not kill you."
But if you died first, I cannot promise that I wouldn't eat you.
Zacnophane just shook his head, the hints of a smile impossible to stymie.
You will find no allies, not even me, if you pursue this to your desired end,
Jarlaxle warned in all seriousness.
Let it go.
Jarlaxle rose and moved toward the common room, aware the whole time of Zacnophane's eyes on his back.